We welcome you into a special edition of Inside Boxing Live, an emergency podcast, as Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford are not agreeing to fight. They have departed from the PBC. This is shaking up the boxing world, so we decided to hop on real quick and give our thoughts. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, and Chris, we did an emergency podcast in June when Canelo announced that he was joining the PBC for a three-fight deal. We had margaritas. I went out and got some Mexican food after. We were having a grand old time. Times have changed because in 8 months, things can change in the boxing world. So Canelo out at PBC, mutually agree to part ways. And on top of it, it looks like Terrence Crawford, he is out as well. Initial reactions to this news, Chris?
Honestly, I mean, the PBC deal seemed to be snake bitten from the start. Nothing good came from that. You know, the Charlo fight was a mess. All this cryptic messages, announcements to make announcements by Canelo, still don't have an opponent. Obviously, everything's in disarray. You know, the first PBC Amazon show in their Prime deal isn't happening until the end of March. It's just all bad. And with Canelo now moving on, Terrence Crawford moving on, that's big news, man, because I'm sure a lot of this Prime deal was contingent on Canelo coming over and having fights, because I don't know who are the big fights now. Big fighters, big champions for PBC who are going to be able to carry these deals and get the money, because they're all pay-per-views. So it's, I don't know. This whole thing is wild.
There's a lot to unpack with this details. Mike Coppinger reporting, as well as Salvador Rodriguez, Chava, as known in the boxing world, who is now saying that Canelo Alvarez will be fighting Jaime Munguia in May, and then potentially Berlanga in September. Fights will probably be part of a Matchroom DAZN deal. We'll get to that in a second. But apparently the fine details in this PBC and Canelo deal fraying is PBC said, yes, we will put up the $35 million guarantee that we agreed to for certain fights. You know, it has to make sense. For a while, that was not an issue for PBC. It was not an issue for a lot of people that were in business with Canelo Alvarez. They would give him crazy guarantees and hope that the fight would do good on pay-per-view, potentially lose money on it. It was not an issue, but with PBC, it became an issue, or it became that they were doing better business and had more sound business moves, and they said, yeah, we will give you a guarantee to fight Jaime Munguia. We'll give you a guarantee to fight Benavidez. We'll even potentially look at a Crawford fight, but we're not going to give you $35 million to fight Jermall Charlo. To me, that's good business. To me, that makes sense as a promotional company with PBC. It seemed like Canelo was steadfast on wanting to fight Jermall Charlo, and according to Mike Coppinger in this story with ESPN, is they had this whole brother revenge angle, and it seemed like both Charlo brothers were the plan all along for the first two fights of this deal, which would be news to us, and that's kind of crazy. But there's a lot to unfold here. There's a lot of fingers being pointed right now and towards Canelo for not honoring his deal and obviously not fighting Benavidez. To PBC, why wouldn't you guys uphold your end of the deal and pay Canelo? But you have to look at it from the middle, which not a lot of people do in the boxing world. Like, $35 million for Jermall Charlo just didn't make sense. Canelo was pretty dug in on that. So he left, and he's going to go try to find someone to pay him to fight Munguia and fight Berlanga. And what this means for Benavidez's fight, I don't know. That seems like that is completely up in smoke. Will he fight Bivol or at 175? There's a lot of questions going around right now, but it had to be said that I think it makes sense from a business standpoint, the PBC not giving Canelo $35 million to fight Jermall Charlo.
And on the opposite end, it makes sense from a Canelo standpoint to pull out of that deal. Because if you're telling me that I was supposed to fight Charlo 1, Charlo 2, and I'm guaranteed $35 million, and now you're not coming up with it because the first Charlo didn't fight hard and pretty much sunk his brother and the rest of boxing, and now that's not a moneymaker, that's not my fault. That's your guys' fault. You owed me the money. If that was the deal, I agree with Canelo. If my minimum's 35, mm-hmm. and you told me I had a two-fight deal with the Charlo brothers, now we're speculating. We don't know that for sure. Apparently that's what it was. And Canelo now has to fight somebody else when he was locked down the Charlos. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But, you know, listen, you got a deal. You just posed it that Canelo's pulling out of the deal. Well, it looks like the deal was pulling out from him already, and he's just not taking it because he's Canelo and he doesn't have to. He did this with De La Hoya too. That's when he sued Golden Boy back in, 2020 after the pandemic, and he wasn't making his minimum money. You don't make my minimum money. Yeah. Canelo's like the government, man. Pay me, bro. You got to pay that man, or he's gonna move on, and he's doing it again.
He seems to have issues with every promoter.
Yeah, well, because he's the boss. Promoters are not used to having fighters tell them what to do.
Yeah, so he's had issues with Canelo. He's had issues
With
with
De La
Golden Boy.
Hoya.
That's what I meant.
Oh, my.
He's had issues with PBC. He hasn't had issues with Eddie Hearn because Eddie Hearn lets him kind of come and go as he pleases, and now it looks like.
He meant some smash overmatch Brits for tons of money.
Yeah, so it seems like Eddie plays it perfectly, and he's just like, yeah, Canelo's going to be with Matchroom for a little bit, and I was going to go to PBC, and I can't blame him for not wanting to go to PBC at this moment because those are all the big fights. And who knows, maybe we'll work together in the future. And that's what Eddie kind of does with all of his fighters that come along for the ride. Just the thing with Devin Haney. I just watched Devin Haney on with Ariel Helwani. Devin Haney and Hearn aren't working together on this Ryan fight, but Hearn is going to be at the press conference, and he's going to help him out and all that. So Eddie is a really good promoter when it comes to that. We're keeping these relationships alive, and that's seems like the case with Canelo because, as of right now, according to Chava, Salvador Rodriguez of ESPN Mexico, who does a very good job of reporting on Canelo, the move now is Jaime Munguia sometime in May, hopefully around May 4th. And, as De La Hoya, of course, on this show with Ariel Helwani, kind of denied it, but I wasn't expecting him to say yes because they're probably still negotiating and he's not going to just give up any leverage. But from what I'm seeing being reported, Canelo's going to be fighting Jaime Munguia May 4th, and that should land on DAZN pay-per-view, and that should have a Golden Boy fold to it. It should have a Matchroom fold to it. So it's not Benavidez, but then for it's not Charlo. So fans are kind of like in the middle with all this. That's how it always is, right? The fans always get left to pick up the scraps and try to figure out what the hell's going on in the sport. Why are we not getting Benavidez? Oh, I heard he was going to fight Charlo. I don't want to see that. But no, now we're seeing a Munguia fight. That doesn't sound so bad compared to Charlo, but it's not Benavidez. Yeah, I guess I'll still watch, or maybe I won't watch. That's how fans are. They're being just kind of thrown through all of this.
Fans are gonna watch, especially Munguia coming off their John Ryder fight and how spectacular he looked. The fact that it's an all Mexican affair, people are gonna come down on Canelo because he said it wasn't gonna be a Mexican, and now he's going back on his word, which is such a stupid thing to say anyway. But whatever. Yeah, I mean the fight's not bad. Yeah, well, listen, the world, we all want Benavidez. That's the fight that
How
should be
much? How
happening.
many more times can we say that?
I mean, we got to
Everyone
make
knows
sure
our
people don't forget.
stance.
We got to make sure people don't forget. We got to keep our feet grounded on this one because Benavidez is the guy who deserves a shot. If Canelo is going to hold all those belts hostage and he's not fighting the top guy in the division, there's a problem. Even though Munguia is awesome, is a good fight. I like the fight a lot. I think Munguia is very, very fun. He's undefeated. He's got a great record. They got the Mexican for Mexican thing. He obviously, earned a shot with that destruction of John Ryder. But it's not David Benavidez. So as much as I'm going to praise, the fact that we got a Munguia Canelo fight potentially happening, I'm still going to be upset because it's not the most deserving guy on the block.
Yeah, we don't know what it means for Benavidez. We don't know what his deal is with the PBC because we're learning more about these PBC contracts. Al Haymon is an advisor. It's also a promotional company. What's his deal, Benavidez, with the PBC? Can he just follow Canelo? Can he? There's a theory out there that Canelo Alvarez will fight Benavidez, but he'll wait and he'll do it in Saudi Arabia, where the money could maybe triple. They could, the Saudi Arabian, Turkey will put up even more money for that fight, and maybe it happens in September in Saudi. Maybe it happens next year in Saudi Arabia. I don't think Canelo versus Benavidez is dead, dead. I think it's dead for this year, unfortunately. But there's a lot of theories out there. And Canelo's unbelievable at finding that money and getting what he can get because he's a pretty much a free agent. He can just go from fight to fight. I mean, how many times are you in litigation and how many times are you forced out? All of a sudden, this deal with PBC just evaporates. It's just gone. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Benavidez. But I'm pretty sure now he's going to go for 175 and fight Vodzik and try to be a light heavyweight and go for better BF and Bivol. So that's that. So this Canelo thing is wide open. The latest is Munguia, Berlanga in September. It's just very, very, it's a head scratcher. It's a big time head scratcher. I don't get it. There's always more to the story, and hopefully we get some more answers. The other side of this is Terrence Crawford, Chris. Terrence Crawford apparently had a one fight deal with a rematch clause. The rematch clause ended because Spence never exercised it. And now he is a free agent. And we've talked about this on the show in the past. Like, Terrence Crawford is in a weird spot because he doesn't have a natural rival right now. He was calling out Canelo Alvarez. Jermell Charlo was his natural rival, but he puts up an egg against Canelo. So he's out of there. Tim Zhu is fighting in March, and Crawford says that fight's not big enough. Who else? We got Boots Ennis out there, who, according to Crawford, is not big enough either. Where does Terrence Crawford go right now at age 35?
I mean, does this seem like he's chasing Canelo? Because that's the only fight he's actually mentioned that was worth the level.
He could.
And yeah, this might be that. I mean, if Canelo was leaving, Canelo's leaving because of the money. Crawford's leaving because of the lack of fights, and he doesn't have time. He can't sit around. And the PBC model is sitting around and waiting for fights. He can't wait. He doesn't have the time left on his career, on his skill set to do that. He needs the biggest money possible as soon as possible. So does this still leave open the door for a September Canelo Alvarez Crawford fight?
Absolutely does.
Yeah. So that's what that seems like to me in terms of what Crawford's move is like. And then Canelo's just being Canelo. Like we mentioned, he's done this in the past. So interesting, because yeah, I don't know, Dan, you posed it really well. It's like, who is a viable dance partner, and viable needs to be also subjectively viable to Terrence, because he's literally saying guys that we say are viable are not. So
I think Zhu would be viable.
Yeah, but he already said he's not interested in that.
If Zhu beats Thurman, and which I think he will, and he knocks him out, he stops him, and he looks phenomenal, then yeah, I think Crawford should fight Zhu. There's plenty of money in that. I mean, it's the best option out there for Crawford. It's better than Jermell. Boots is looking for a promoter himself. I mean, he's I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he's still aligned with PBC. He's looking for a promoter. He's not big enough for Crawford. I think there was options for Crawford at PBC, and I think he should be looking to be aggressive, because we're, you know, getting closer and closer to the spring and the summer. We're going to go a full year without Crawford fighting after his coming
at
out party.
At 35 plus years
At 35
old.
Plus, when he, after his coming out party with Spence, and after that fight, I was like, wow, Crawford should fight like right away in December. And then he should just, you know, fight three or four more times.
He was on a press tour for 3 months. So
right? He was on fighting, Rogan, fighting everywhere.
Yeah, fighting right after was never an option. He was taking the flowers.
He beat Spence too too much, where Spence couldn't even come back for a rematch. I don't know what's
going to happen. He hurt his own bank account by beating up Spence too bad.
I don't know what's going to happen with Terrence Crawford. There are viable fights out there. To him, I guess he's just weighing them. Like, what's better than just sitting out? Like, I still think Boots is a fun fight at 147. The Zhu fight at 154. Jermell Charlo, it's hard to pin him down on what he wants to do and where his career will go. But, you know, two of the bigger names in boxing right now are promotional and network free agents, Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford. Boxing
in such different cases. They're both huge. And Canelo is in the driver's seat. Crawford's not. As crazy as that is to say, even for me to say it and hear it out loud, Crawford is chasing, Canelo is leading. And because Crawford doesn't have options, and Canelo has too many options. Right. And he's in the driver's seat. He can pick whatever he wants. He can pick the things that the fans don't want. And he doesn't care. Crawford's right. The opposite. Crawford is only looking for what he wants. But he's got to wait around. He doesn't have the power to say, I'm going to fight this guy. I'm going to pick that guy. Canelo can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got to figure the Matchroom USAs, the Golden Boys, you know, whatever promotion, now what is even called out there in Saudi Arabia, are all circling and figuring out ways to get Terrence Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. Interesting times. Interesting times in the world of boxing. Wanted to hop on quickly and get our thoughts and put it out there into the ether. I'm heading out to Puerto Rico to call Jake Paul and Amanda Serrano fights. Chris has Pro Box, so there's plenty of boxing. If you are a fan of real boxing and not just us talking about speculation, there's plenty of fights. Yeah,
we actually cover fights too, guys.
Yeah, we do it all.
Instead of announcements. We do more than just announcements of announcements. We actually Talk about fights.
So protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Canelo, hit us up. Maybe you can come work with us. Take care.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.